I would appreciate your prayers, your attention for a little while this morning. I want to talk about God being just. Maybe you can work in some of the points in that song as we go along. Last week I was studying in the 14th chapter of Luke. This is an instance when Jesus was invited to a dinner with the Pharisees. And he made several comments when he was there about the behaviors that were being carried out. But in particular, I was thinking about the last one that he said. It's in the 12th verse of the 14th chapter of Luke. Jesus speaking, "Then said he also to him that bade him, When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee." So I don't think the Lord meant there that you should never meet with your family. As a matter of fact, I suppose most of us have done this just this last week. But it means that we should not do what we do with an eye toward getting a reward from it. Because he said, "When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." And that's the phrase that stuck in my mind. Jesus lived here about 33 and a half years. And it often seemed in the things that he said, nearly all of what we know about him were things that he said after he was a grown man. But his being a grown man was not like mine. I don't remember anything that happened before I was born. I think the memory of what it was like in heaven with God was immediate in his mind all the time. And when he gave us descriptions of the things taking place over there, it was like somebody with whom that was almost more vivid than this world is. You know, we get this turnaround sometimes. To us, it's easy to seem like that other world is far off, mystical, even uncertain. And this one around us, immediate, the here and now. In reality, this world is far more transient than the eternal world is. It's only here for a little while. All you have to do is look at what's going on with your own life, with your own body. None of us can go back and relive a single day of it. And yet, eternal values never vary. They never change. Holiness is always holiness. Love is always love. Peace is always peace. Surely, eternal values must subsist somewhere beyond this time world in which we live. And the Lord reflected that in the things that he said. So many times we get the impression that it's almost like he was looking into heaven with one hand and describing to us with the other what was going on there. So here's what he said. I read it again. "When you make a feast, the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, the disadvantaged, thou shalt be blessed. They can't recompense you." God's got people in this world who are disadvantaged. I don't necessarily mean, I don't think the Lord did, people who are serving him. The only qualification for this is to be disadvantaged. Poor, blind, lame. Can't walk. Can't do what you can, most of us. Remember them. That's what he said. Because the Lord makes himself accountable for the things going on in this world. And he said, and this is what struck my mind, "Thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Now, I thought of it this way. A king. It's a point of honor to a king because he has at his disposal the resources of the nation to do more than other people can do. Not long ago, I heard about President Trump stopping by to visit some firefighters. And they asked him to sign things for him, write his name on it. And one of them said, "Why don't you put my name on there too, John Doe, whatever it is, to John Doe from Donald Trump?" "No, no," he said, "just let me write Donald Trump, because You can take this after I've written it and sell it for $10,000 on eBay. Well, that's what a king can do. Nobody's willing to pay 10 cents for my name, or yours perhaps. But a king always rewards more than he's given. Jesus was a king. When he was here, he asked permission to borrow Peter's boat. And how long did that message last? I'm sure we don't have all of it, but an hour and a half at the most, something like that. Peter just been fishing all night. His fishing associates were on the bank cleaning the nets. And the Lord said to him, "Now launch out into the deep." Any fisherman can tell you that 90% of the fish are in 10% of the water. In the middle of the day, they're not biting anything, and that 10% is nearly always along the shoreline. And Peter looked at him as if to say, "You carpenter, going to tell me how to fish? This is what I do for a living. But you're the Lord, so I'll obey you." And when he launched out into the where he knew there wasn't going to be any fish, and all of a sudden he had so many, pretty good reward, wasn't it? For loaning your boat for an hour and a half or so, so many fish came on board, he had to call his helpers. Come, the boat's about to sink, the nets are about to break. That wasn't the only time that happened. There were different times that the Lord asked for something, and he has a way of rewarding us 10 times, 20 times more than it's worth. So I know the Lord said this, and it was sort of a reproof to those who heard him, because they were guilty of what he was advising them not to do. But I have the right to turn it around and say to myself, if I want to increase reward in heaven, there is nothing to keep me from just doing all of this that I can afford to do. Pardon me. The old rabbis say, the leaders in Jesus' time say, that Job had doors on the four corners of his house with the idea that the poor were welcome all the time. Job was a very wealthy man. Now, it's not wrong to be wealthy, and it's possible for wealthy people to go to heaven. The wrong is when they allow their wealth to mean too much to them. Job received commendation from the Lord for his righteousness because he didn't allow his money to mean too much. But the rabbis say that Abraham surpassed Job in his compassion. He also was a very wealthy man, and he went through the land searching for people who were poor in order to give some of his goods to them. You may not know it, but there are people in the United States who are doing that too today, and most of the time they do it very quietly without telling anybody, but set up philanthropic organizations and supply means to people quietly and who are in need. Well, the scripture said concerning that, and the Lord didn't put the emphasis on it even here, that the attitude of your heart is what mattered, although we know it is. But he said, "Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Let's turn it on, Brother Cornelio. Since we're going to show something to the children this morning, I clipped this out and brought along. It's a scales to show. And the point that I want to try to make by the Lord's help in my little discourse this morning is that God is an absolutely just God. He is absolutely fair in everything that he does. And that happens whether it works for us or against us. The angel of the Lord smote Peter, the scripture said, to wake him up. And his being smitten made the chains fall off, those who guarded him fall into deeper sleep than they were already, and the prison gates to swing open. That same angel, using the same language, I suppose the same angel, he smote Herod. And Herod, instead of making things open up before him, it caused him to die a horrifying death. It's the same angel. God is, when Joshua went into the Canaan land and he met the being there, the angel in front of him, and he asked him, "Are you for us or against us?" The angel said, "Neither one. I'm not for you or against you. As captain of the Lord's hosts, it might come up." The scripture also said, let God be true and every man a liar. God is absolutely fair and just in everything that he does. Now here's another illustration of that. Abel. When Cain killed him, the Lord told Cain when he came down to visit him for it, where's your brother? And Cain lied about it. My brother's keeper. The answer is we are a brother's keeper in this world. But he said, your brother's blood cries to me from the earth. And here's what he meant. I made rocks harder than skulls. I don't know what Cain used, but assuming he picked up a rock and hit his brother in the back of the head with it, the Lord made his world. And you can use it for evil, but he makes himself an accessory after the fact if you do that. He counts himself party to it in a way. It's like if we had a bunch of guns lining the walls in the chapel and somebody gets angry and you grab one of the guns and shoot somebody with it. Whoever put those guns there bears part of the responsibility for it. The Lord made this world, and he made it so that it can be abused. And so he makes himself party to the things going on. And so the Lord was saying to Cain, I'm not going to bear that. Your brother's blood's crying to me from the ground, and there's a penalty, and you're going to pay it. And when Cain heard his penalty, he said, it's more than I can bear. Well, what else could he do? So he did bear it, but it really was more than he can bear. It destroyed him. And folks, listen to me, please. When we bring down upon ourselves eternal judgment, it's more than we can bear. It's more than any of us can bear. That little song that the sisters sang a while ago, that's what it's saying. It makes me wonder when I go down the way of sin. It says, if dreams are worth dreaming at all, because they go nowhere, and they bring only bitterness and disappointment. If we leave God out of our dreams, if we choose to use his world in an unrighteous way, he takes some accountability for that because he created the world and he created you in it. And he's going to be absolutely just concerning it, and he will relieve himself with regard to his responsibility. So this passage that the Lord gave us here, if we use it to good, we can look for opportunities all around ourselves to lay up treasures in heaven. Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means. It's a mystery. All the things that lie on the other side. Living for the Lord is always a life of faith. We know there is right and wrong. That's enough to tell us that if there is a recompense for doing wrong, that there is also a reward or a benefit for doing right. But here the Lord underlined it. So I'm a king. I come from where the king is. I know the things that go on there. I'm here to tell you today, that's what he said to these folks. If you take in the people that can't repay you, well, God takes accountability for their being here, and he wants them to be blessed. He wants them not to be hungry all the time. He wants them when they're blind and wandering in the rain and they can't find their way back into the house for somebody to get them by the hand and lead them under some shelter and wrap a warm coat around their shoulders. Remember what he said about that sort of thing is really repeated over and over in the scriptures. If you give so much as a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you won't use your reward. Lose your reward. It's possible for you and me to look over into the other world too by faith and to make up our minds. I believe what Jesus said. I'm going to set myself by his holy grace to live like this. It's the thing to do. So we got the scales up here. And always on one side of the scale is our lives. And on the other side of the scale is the Word of God. Men, people at eternity will not be judged according to what their ideas of right and wrong were. They're going to be judged by the Word of God. I'll read you one scripture that supports what Jesus said. It's in Proverbs 19:17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. That's saying, if God's given you a little bit of money in this world, you can afford to make a feast. There's somebody that you know who can't pay you back. And you bring them in. You do something to bless them and make their life better. Well, you didn't get anything back from them, but it's not wasted. You loaned it to the Lord. He put it in your hands, and you loaned it back to him. Well, that's the very same thing that the Lord was talking about with his parables of the talents, the way that they ought to be used. And he said, you can't get your reward in this world, although there is some reward in this world too, in a moment. But like a king, he's guaranteed us a reward in a world beyond our understanding that we can't even grasp while we're here. It'll be worth it. I don't think when Abraham came to the end of his journey, got over on the other side, he looked back and said, you know, this was all a waste of time. I wish I hadn't done this. I should have lived like I should have stayed in here. And I don't think he talked that way. When Paul, that final blow from the executioner's sword fell upon him and he left his body, I don't think he got over there and heard the angels singing and thought, you know, I had a more beautiful choir than that down in the world. I think I wish I hadn't done what I did. There's not anybody over there, folks, who would come back here for anything if they could do so. And you and I will feel the same way if we're faithful. However, I started a remark a moment ago. The Lord didn't restrict it all to there. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good in measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom in this world. You can't outgive the Lord. He's a king. He's a king. He has control of things that you and I don't have control over. And it's worth the trouble to take our little alabaster box of ointment and break it and pour it over his head or pour it over his feet. Pour your life on the Lord Jesus. He'll give you more out of it than you can get back for yourself. So I want to talk some, a little more about what that means in terms of our fellow man. In the eyes of an absolutely just God who put us here, who declared it his word, every transgression received a just recompense of reward. What do we owe to our fellow human beings? We owe a debt, you know. We really are a brother's keeper. We owe reasonable care for other people's physical health and body. Remember the story of the Good Samaritan? It's almost as important what's not there as there is what is. The Good Samaritan met the man in distress, not able to care for himself, half conscious. He dressed his wounds. He got him off somewhere safe, made sure he was taken care of, went and completed his journey, and said, when I come back, if you need anything more, then I'll be there to help you with that. There, you're not taking him into your home to keep there the rest of your life. He's supposed to get well and go on out and face his place in the world as well, and maybe learn a lesson about being a little more careful about walking down the Jericho Road at that time of day. We have a reasonable responsibility to help those who are not able to help themselves. We certainly have a responsibility to care for other people's souls. That's a great debt, folks. We can't afford to be irritable. Oh, a man told me this one time. He said, many times I've seen my father go through the drive-thru at McDonald's and leave the clerk in tears. Well, how are you going to be a witness to their soul if you live a life like that? There are physical gifts and there are emotional gifts. And the Lord wants us to know how to use both. We are, I think of it like a person walking through water. And you spread a wake out behind you with every step you take. If you're wading and the water curls out on either side, every one of us are an influence in this world. The steps we take, the moves we make, touch here and there and there. You can look behind yourself and you can see the water plants lifting up and down with the waves going across them. And finally they roll up on the bank. If we are leaving behind us godly things, peaceful things, gentle things, if when we go by somebody, it refreshes and encourages their spirit, that's giving them something. If, on the other hand, our words wound tender hearts, cause tears to flow, hurt and disappoint and separate, that follows us too. It follows us too. You see, every one of us in this world have a right to our personhood. We're created with personalities. It's like a garden of flowers that's the Lord's planting. And every one of us have the right in the soil where he placed us to bloom and blossom. Have you ever seen a flower growing out from under a rock? They can do it. Some of them will. They'll never be like they were. They don't get the sunshine. They don't get as much water. They don't get as much nutrients. Have you ever seen somebody oppress a family member? A companion? From being what God intended them to be? I see those things and I pray, Lord, have mercy on me and help me that I love those that I love, that I not handle them in such a way that I steal their sunlight and hinder them from the water God intended them to have, because somewhere that's going to be answered for. You can't do that to another person. You can't oppress. You can't be cruel physically or emotionally and not meet it somewhere. The absolutely just God who created that other person and gave him the personality that they have. And they can't help the personality. You can't change your personality. None of us should be expected to. You can modify how you use it, but you can't change it. If you like red better than green, you can't make yourself start liking green better and so forth. God made you that way. For somebody else to steal it from you, well, in this world, he gives us opportunity to do what we want to do. But there's the scales. We're going to meet it someday. We're going to answer for all the deeds that are done in the flesh. I look at these things and cover my head and say, Lord, help me. Help me to have the wake that's following me as I go through life, carry out good things. I think of a congregation this way. Think of a pond and people just crossing it from all directions. And the water gets all stirred up and wavy and you just got a continual wave pattern beating on the banks. I believe that's the way the Lord would have His church to be. Then whichever way you look, you find somebody trying to do something good to somebody else and bring a blessing to them. That's what He wanted in His world. That's what the Lord left in His wake. That's what He instructed His apostles to do. Didn't He say to them, for by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's a qualifying ingredient. So, we don't know to other people what they're able to provide for themselves. There's a scripture in Timothy for Paul giving advice on how to manage a congregation. He told Timothy, some of the widows don't take them into the number. And by that he meant to be on what we'd say today are the welfare rolls, where the congregation just pays their support 100%. It doesn't mean when somebody is in a sudden distress that you don't step up and help them. He's talking about taking them into dependency. And what he said was, we want them to be blameless. That they may be blameless is the phrase that he used. And what he meant was, if you take somebody under your welfare rolls, and they really don't need it, they're able to do some work and provide for themselves, they're getting blamed for that. It's not fair. In another place he said, I mean not that ye be burdened and others eased, but by inequality. And he was talking about money and offering. When people have the means to provide for themselves, if all you can do is be a Dorcas and knit some mittens and give them to people that are cold in the winter and make a little bit of money that way, you're better off to do that than you are to just be an object of charity and expect somebody else to take care of you all the time. Those are some of the things that we're not required to do. Here's something we're not required to do. Other people have in this world a right to privacy. The gospel makes that exception. It's not in our Constitution, but it's in the Bible. There are some areas of other people's lives that really are a matter between them and God and nobody else. You're not wise to intrude into it. Roberta and I are married. When we go into our home and close the doors of our house, if you see us live for the Lord in everything else we do in our lives, you need to be able to trust the Lord that what we do in the parts you can't see, we're still doing that to please the Lord. We don't need a preacher to come and walk into her clothes closet and say, this one you can wear and that one you can't wear and things of that sort. There is such a thing as a right to privacy, and we're not required to do that. What we are required to do is reasonable care for physical need and care for the soul, to be absolutely just. because God makes himself the advocate of the disadvantaged. I want to say a little bit about that word just. A just man. The Bible said Job was a just man. And if you run out the language on that, it's the same word that's translated in other places, a righteous man. People struggle with that word. To be righteous, well, that means, the world kind of scorns that a little bit, maybe I could say. He's just so righteous. He's too righteous to fellowship with people that are not living quite the same way that he is, that kind of thing. That isn't what it means in the Bible. It means absolutely fair. Absolutely. If I owe you money, pay it. Don't defraud anybody, not the government, not anybody. We're serving an absolutely just God, folks. And he's weighing everything that we do. There is such a thing as mercy. But we have a debt to our fellow human beings. I'll say it this way. We have a debt to those that are in office. I don't agree with some of the people that are in office in our land now. I don't like some of the changes that are taking place. You know, that's as old as time. I don't think Paul liked some of the governors he ran into either. They kept ordering him to get beat and thrown into jail and trying to kill him. But he taught folks to give honor to whom honor is due. When a man takes the responsibility of the shield of police officer on his chest, the Lord intends us to respect the office even if we can't respect the man. Because it's God's world, and because if he got there, wicked and corrupt as he may be, God in heaven allowed it. And when we reverence the officer, we're reverencing Almighty God. It is the very basis of law and order. It's a necessary thing to do. It's appropriate that it should be taught. It's part of the scriptures. So I'm teaching it here by the Lord's help this morning. Romans 13:7. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And I want to give you a little advice. Lord, help us this morning. It's very serious. We're all moving toward eternity. This is very serious advice. I recommend that from time to time you think back through your life. And if you find somewhere in there that you have mistreated somebody, that you haven't been as fair or as honest as you should have been, fix it. Fix it. There is such a thing as a restitution. We're moving toward the judgment. The scripture said some men's sins are open beforehand, going on to judgment. Some they follow after. There aren't any that just vanish. There is no black hole for sin. We either open it up beforehand and deal with it, or we're going to face it at the judgment. So better off. Better off to do it now. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? Lord, help us this morning. Now let me read you this, because Jesus expanded on what he had said here. I know you've heard it before. It's in the 25th of Matthew. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come on, come on, this is it, you made it, inherit the kingdom. And here's why. I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison. You came unto me. Then shall the righteous say unto him, answer him, Lord, we never saw anything like this. That's the only answer we have at the judgment, folks. It means we will be, no matter they've been living for the Lord many years, be Paul or Peter or whoever you will, this immortal being who had actually been in heaven where God is, and he knew what it was like. And he came to tell us. He's talking about himself. I'll be there. I'm the one who's coming to make these decisions. And I know what I'm talking about. You can't see it, but I know what I'm talking about. And he said, if you could see it the way it really is, You wouldn't, there'd be no end to the kindness that you'd be ready to show to everybody else. You'd be desperate to do it. Oh, he's got it set up so it takes faith. And that's the right way to do it. However, he did everything he could to make that wall as transparent as it could be made. I'm telling you, I just came from there, and this is the way it is. When you pass through this veil of the flesh, you're not going to be wanting to come back. And what you see over there, you're going to be seeing. I had no idea that this was what I was doing when I gave up the things that the devil tried to tempt me about so strongly and tell me that I ought to keep. I had no idea this was what, I didn't know it looked like this. That's what they told him. He didn't leave anybody out. He didn't say this was everybody but Peter or everybody but John. Said I was in prison. They'll say to him, Lord, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, verily I say unto you, and with least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So, you want a blessing? You want the Lord to blossom in your life? Well, here it is. Anybody can do it. It's not really hard to understand. Well, it's hard to grasp what it really means. We won't know until we get there. But you know what the words are, don't you? It means your own children. It means your husband. It means your wife. It means whoever you see in the world around you. I had an old pastor who used to advise me this. Try to take it for my motto along the journey. He said, if the Lord let somebody cross my path, he must have wanted me to help him. I think that's a good idea to take with you through life, because this has got a reciprocal. The same angel that smote Peter and woke him up came and smote Herod, and he brought death to him. We're going to meet that angel too. Therefore, then shall he also say unto them on the left hand, dread words, horrifying words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was an hungered, ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, you know the story. Then shall they also answer him, saying, I put it in my language, Lord, I got five brothers back there on the earth. I didn't know that eternity was like this. If I'd have known this, I would have done something. Please, send Lazarus back to tell him what it's like over here. And somebody who's actually been here. Here's somebody who's actually been here. And here's what he said concerning it. People are going to cry when that day comes and say, I didn't realize how absolute are those scales. Your justice. I didn't realize that I would be credited against my account. Little words, little cutting sarcasm, little unfairness. I didn't realize what a big rock I was that somebody else was trying to grow under. And all I had to do was step out of the way and give them to have a little of their own sunshine. I didn't realize that. I walked my own way. Well, I was comfortable where I was. Oppressors are comfortable, you know. Growl a little bit. Bring me something to drink. Scratch my foot. And they come and bring you a drink with one hand, scratch your foot with the other, and feels pretty good. Life's good. I'm getting along well. And not see where that other person is. It's coming a day. It's coming a day. We're all going to meet it. He put this in the Bible, folks, so you and I would have a chance. And I'm only talking so far about our duty to people. What about our duty to God? It's a debt that we can't pay. We're born into a sinful world. We're born with a tendency in us to do the wrong thing. And there is not a person who's ever breathed life for any length of time that hasn't sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you rob somebody and you never pay it back, and you live the rest of your life and you never do anything else wrong, that won't fix what's behind you. If you do something, or I do, outside the way of the Lord, if we violate His law. One time. And who could ever honestly say that's all I've done? and live the rest of our lives and never do anything, the scales are going to tilt. The word of the Lord is against it. Thank God. The old song said, they had a bad account in heaven, so I went to the Maker and I settled it long ago. Jesus paid it all, the old hymn says. Thank God, those things that I couldn't pay. I've known people to get into debts to other people that they couldn't pay. A man confessed to me one time when I was in Vietnam. He said, I likely fathered a child. He said, I have no idea where the mother is. It's quite impossible for me to go back. There's nothing I can do to ever make that right. Did you know that our Heavenly Father made a way through the blood of Jesus Christ to accept the will for the deed? To know that if you could do it, you'd be willing to do it. He'll accept that and use His blood and put it on the other side of the scale for you and make the balance come out right. Thank God that He's willing to help us with our debts to one another. And thank God so much more, He's willing to help us with our debt to Him. And when we allow Him to do so, when we bring our dark, muddy past, the heartbreak, the disappointments, the failures and the wrongs that are done, the whole ugly, stinking mess, and bring it up before Jesus and put it on the altar before Him and just turn it loose, tell Him, Lord, I can't stand this anymore and there's nothing I can do to get rid of it. Have mercy on my soul. That's what He died for. I don't know how He does it, but He pours His blood over that and He promised to remove it as far as the east is from the west from us. And there is in Jesus Christ eternal salvation and mercy to our souls. We still owe our fellows a debt. When we have our sins forgiven, we owe it to the Lord to set our course to heaven, to do all we can by His grace, to live obediently before Him. But thank God, He made a way that the past can be washed under His blood and forgiven. That's my thought this morning, and I thank you for the courtesy of your attention. Once again, amen.